Japan 2.0.
Tell me when, mom, old and go.
You see me on your television, you hear me on your radio. You like it where your eyes,
but tell me when, mom, old and go.
Japan 2.0.
Tell me when, mom, old and go.
Point.
Hello and welcome to Japan 2.0. We are in the most Japanese setting we could find, and probably the most Japanese place in all of Japan.
Yeah, I think that's
a cryptic.
Yeah, very cryptic, but actually it's not going to sound like... Well, actually it might sound like Japan in here, because it sounds like there's Japanese music being played in the background.
We're in a, I think Vietnamese restaurant is what we're trying to say.
I think it's Thai. Yeah, it's Thai restaurant.
Okay.
But, we're going to eat, and it might be a little bit noisy, so if you hear some sounds, just bear with us. I'm Matt.
This is David, of course, and we're coming at you from Kyoto today.
Yeah, it's kind of a special episode because we're actually on location.
Yes, we are. This episode, we'll talk about Kyoto a little bit, but another episode we'll be recording same day is going to be a Kyoto-centric one. Maybe you've heard it already, or maybe that'll be coming, a bit of a preview.
Right.
But nevertheless, it's the place we've never recorded before, so it's a bit of a special episode for us, I think.
Yeah, we're both kind of on a small holiday. And
I'm on a weekend holiday.
Well, it's a holiday as I got away from home, and I got to spend a day
that's
in Kyoto.
Away from our family.
Yeah, because I don't often get a chance to come out here, and I always think like, why don't I come out here more often? And this weekend just seemed like a perfect time to take a trip.
For sure, that's always a feeling I have as well.
But we're not talking about Kyoto today.
Not this one. No. What are we talking about?
We're talking about museums and galleries, because when you come to Japan, you realize it's a very artistic place, and there's a big, people really appreciate art and are really into design, and not only Japanese design, but Western design and Western art as well.
Yeah, I've heard both sides of the coin, actually, that it's a really good place to be an artist. I've heard it's also a bad place to be an artist in terms of like making money.
Yeah,
I think it's probably relative to where you come from and what the art scene is like where you're from.
Sure. And whether your art is selling or not is probably has a lot to do with it.
Perspective.
Yeah,
I'd heard mostly from people in Korea, not only Koreans but also non-Korean people living in Korea, that Japan was a really great place for art. I've heard from some Americans that they thought it wasn't really great if you are an artist trying to make it here.
Well, I don't know if either of us are considered artists. I mean, we both are artistic, for sure. That's not how we make our living.
Yeah, I'm just talking about the money aspect of it.
Yeah.
Which maybe we'll talk about a little bit later from one of the museums that we went to today.
Right.
They kind of talk about how those royalties actually work out for artists. Japan is a place where you'll see a lot of galleries and you see a lot of museums. And you might not realize them because they're very, very small, a lot of them. Smaller than for us, as Americans, it's pretty obvious museums are huge. So many small galleries here.
You find them in department stores, you find them in malls, you find them in, a lot of times in tourist areas, like in here in Kyoto.
I think Kyoto probably per capita has to have the most that I've seen.
It has a ton.
Yeah.
And a lot of traditional artwork, like the paintings on the scrolls and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Like I was just walking by a place that had where they were painting the bamboo, and those are kind of common. I mean, if you've seen a Japanese postcard or something like that, you've probably already seen some of these types of art. It's like calligraphy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just the three areas we know best: Kyoto, Osaka, Kobe. I feel like every one of them is like a really artsy city.
Yeah.
Osaka is like in a different way. It's not like that highbrow art for me. But it's more of like a kind of street art that I think of when I think of Osaka.
Oh, thank you.
But Kobe, I'm always hard on Kobe. Kanpai. And but I think their art scene is actually really, really strong. One of the better points of Kobe.
Yeah. Well, you have a special kind of gallery. I mean, we could start with that one that's up on... Oh, no, somebody's making a blended drink.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, sorry about the background noise.
Matt's drinking a Nama beer, and I have a mojito.
Yeah, but there's a blender going on in the background as well.
Yeah,
up where you live, there's a special house that's kind of like a gallery. It's been converted into a gallery.
Are you talking about the Guggenheim House?
The Guggenheim House, yeah.
Yeah, there's not, like, permanent art in there, but they do, like, events there that are quite artistic. The only one I've ever been to was, what is a somen party. I think it's somen, like a noodle. They run noodles down bamboo shoots.
Oh, yeah, yeah, like it's like the noodles go down a slide, and you're supposed to catch them with chopsticks.
I can't remember what the episode was, but I've actually used an image from there for one of our old arts. But, yeah, I think that they would host, like, actual art, like maybe a painting exhibit and stuff there, but they do music nights and things like that. It's like a big Western house, and there's nothing else really going on in that area, Shioya. It's kind of like the one thing it's known for, you know, on a national level, I suppose.
Why is it the Guggenheim, like, do you know? Like,
yeah, I don't know if it's a reference to the Guggenheim, you know? I don't know why, but Kobe is famous for, like, Western influence in general.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of Western-style housing. It's quite old there, and it's in one of those style houses. It's huge. I mean, it's like a legit big Western, I wouldn't say mansion, but large house.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, my one experience there was amazing, and just it's in, like, this small little town in the mountains, you know? And
it's kind of funny.
You never expect it to be there.
Exactly. You don't expect to find some of these art galleries, and they're sometimes they're in strange locations. I was told that there was this car. Our mutual friend Akira told us about this car.
I want to hear. I've never heard
gallery.
This story.
Yeah, this car gallery. It was a car exhibition that was going on where they were going to show off these interesting cars that were made and. They went on a tour across Japan, and the blender's going. That's going to be annoying, I think. Oh, delicious. Frosty drink. But he told us about this event, and my wife and I could ride our bikes to this event because it was close to our home. So we rode our bikes all the way over to it, and it was awesome. There were these cars that were converted into... They had multiple uses. For example, one car was a... it sold sweet potatoes from the back. It had a big oven in it.
Yeah.
And you could buy the sweet potatoes, or they were selling them right there. And it had all these exhaust ports and stuff. It was a really funky-looking car.
Yeah. Yakimo, man.
Huh?
The Yaki Emo, man.
Yeah.
Yaki Emo, that's what he yells out.
Right, and if you're familiar with that music, they had a remixed version of that song.
Yaki Emo song.
Yeah.
Hello, we are back.
Yeah, we were rudely interrupted. Not rudely interrupted. We were interrupted.
Can you tell that we're at a different location?
Yeah.
A much more appropriate location?
Yeah, we're at a 8-bit bar.
I'll give them a plug because it's an awesome place. It's called Cafe La Siesta. And yeah, it's an 8-bit video gaming bar. It's the first one I ever went to. And it's definitely one of the best. Their music is excellent.
Yeah, they sometimes have, like, music parties here and stuff.
Yeah.
But that's not what we're here to talk about. Don't worry. No. Game cafes and game bars, that's coming up soon.
Yep. Future. You just enjoy the sounds right now.
Right.
It must be better than the blender at the restaurant before.
Yeah, that restaurant was a little bit noisy.
Excellent food, but a little noisy.
Yeah.
So Matt was telling us about...
the car show.
Friend Akira who invited him to a car show.
Yeah.
And the Yakimo man, of course.
This car show was amazing. They had all sorts of crazy cars, and if you go back to our
Instagram,
I have a really good video of
a
car that's it's
in
like
a ball or something.
It's like a house, and it's in this I guess a track, so it looks like one big wheel.
Yeah,
and that thing was hilarious. But
yeah,
you
like
kind
of or
right or out of a comedy, mm-hmm. But. There were all sorts of other cars. There was one that was a cement mixer with holes in it, and it was shooting out like bright lights, so it looked like a light show. Like they had it in this dark room. Yeah.
The name, is Decadora. If you remember Decadora, Decadora is like blinged out cars. A lot of times semi trucks. You know the crazy semi trucks.
Yeah,
I've never seen them really, but I think Decadora applies to all just like.
Tricked out.
Pimp My Ride, basically, of Japan.
I mean, these were pretty silly. I mean, it was definitely a funny...
Were a lot of people laughing?
People were cracking up. Yeah. I mean, if you listen to that, if you watch that video on the Instagram, you could hear people laughing, myself included.
Yeah.
That was a really cool event, and that was at this art... I guess it's like an art workshop or warehouse, and they have it... it's just in the middle of Osaka by the piers, actually. If anyone knows Osaka and you know where the IKEA is, there's a lot of just warehouses and stuff and industrial workers, and that's where it's located.
That's pretty far out, kind of in a weird
place. But you just never know where you're going to find a gallery or...
That's the point right there, yeah.
Yeah.
That's cool, yeah. I mean, so it was artistic then? I mean... It's kind of crazy that thing was at a gallery, because it's kind of lowbrow culture, right, in some ways.
Well, it wasn't like, I mean, it wasn't quite what you were thinking. It's not like the,
It wasn't like a...
Like it was trying to, it was definitely not trying to be, like, cool, you know? Yeah. It was people that made, I mean, one of them had an airplane on the back of it. The other one had, like, this laser cannon that they had to charge up and
stuff. Reminds me of, like, those derby races. What are they called? Like, the people who build their little cars. And
soapbox racers. Soapbox, yeah. It's very similar, but on a larger scale. One was a car that the guy pulled out this... It looked like a car cover, you know, to keep your car from getting dirty or dusty.
Yeah.
But it was a police car. So you could... Police could transform a car into a police car whenever they needed to.
I wish that was annual, because I missed out big time on that one.
Yeah, it was a really good one.
Akira, why didn't you call me? that's incredible.
I think he realized it was in my neighborhood. It was like one of those last minute things.
Yeah.
I found out about it the day of, you know?
It's one of my bucket list things, is to see a Decadora like swap meetup event.
Oh, yeah, that would be really awesome.
I'm trying to think, you know, like, when we said that we're going to do this episode, there was nothing that came to mind, and slowly things have started popping in. I like to always start chronologically. I think the first one I went to was the Hyogo Prefectural Art Museum, and I'm going to guess here, but I think it was designed by Ando. Taro Ando is a pretty famous architect from Hyogo. I liked his stuff a lot, and I went there just for the actual space. A lot of times when I go to museums, bigger museums, I actually like the architecture of the museum, usually better than any of the art that's in there. To me, that's what I take my most time with, is just like looking up at things, you know? I'm a pretty fast museum goer.
Yeah.
I like them, don't get me wrong. I go to a lot. I've been to 3 in the last 3 weeks, but I'm fast paced. Kind of like the one we went to today.
Yeah. I think when you go to a gallery or something, I mean, I don't spend a lot of time looking at paintings or pictures unless something really speaks to me and I want to kind of digest it, but for the most part, you know, I pretty much go through a museum at a steady pace, and I don't feel like I ever come out, you know, like I missed something or I didn't get something from the museum. I mean, it depends on the museum too. Sometimes the museums aren't that great, but for the most part, the museums I've been to here in Japan have all been good. I'd say very good museums.
Yeah.
If not great.
Yeah.
Or galleries.
Yeah. So I saw the Final Fantasy artist at the Hyogo Prefectural Museum of Art, and that was really awesome. They had a lot of things. They had like storyboards and paintings. They had videos documenting his work. I'll put his name in the show notes in case you're interested. I'm really bad with names.
Yeah, me too.
But I think I stayed for about 2 to 3 hours, which for me is a really long time. That was awesome to go see for me. Really, really great. They had a lot of his non-Final Fantasy stuff as well. And to be honest, that was just as good. Huge, massive murals, like hundreds of feet, you know, and with all these little tiny details, very psychedelic style. I guess one of the complaints I hear about museums is that
you go on the weekends, they're really crowded, and it just kind of feels like you're in a giant line the whole time.
Mm.
Like you're always just in a line waiting to see something. I've never felt that way. Maybe the ones I go to are pretty niche, you know? Like, I'm going to these weird sub-genres. The Hyogo Prefectural one is pretty big, but again, maybe because it was a Final Fantasy event, there weren't a lot of people. But that was one that really sticks out in my mind. Oh, I'm starting to remember a bunch of other ones, too. This is good, yeah.
Yeah, I went to one. I'm a big fan of Naruto, the comic and manga and anime. And there was a Naruto exhibit for the end of Naruto. And I was really excited because it wasn't like in Osaka. It was not far from my home. So my wife and I went, and my wife doesn't know anything about Naruto. And that's the one I spent the most time in line. You know, like there was a big line to get in.
Yeah.
But the way they did it is they let a certain amount of people in at a time. And then the actual museum itself had these gates where you go through this door. Like, they let a certain amount of people through a door, let more people from the line into the museum. And it kept it so that it wasn't congested, which I thought was a really good idea. Because I saw, when I was in South Korea, I saw a Van Gogh exhibit. And the Van Gogh was super busy, and you really were in a line the whole way through. It was just, and you had to move because you couldn't, just stay there and, you know, look at a pictured painting as long as you wanted.
That must be out here, because I have very credible friends who have told me that. But again, I've been to 20 or 30, and I've never... I mean, I've gone to some that are slightly crowded, but I've been out in Europe to all the famous museums there, and it's no more crowded than it is, you know, in Europe. I would say, honestly, for me, it's been less crowded here.
Yeah. The Naruto Museum...
Yeah, how long did you wait in line to get in there?
Yeah, so the line itself was probably maybe... 30 minutes. It was about 30 minutes to get inside.
For Japan, that's nothing for a line. I think waiting to get in the museum, that's kind of weird, actually. I've never had to do that.
Yeah.
But you wait for lines for a lot of things here.
It was a little bit expensive. I think it was like $2,500. Ooh. So, you know, it's about $25.
For me, I'd say the average price I pay is usually $8. Seems to be the magic number for whatever reason.
But... And that might have been for both of us, but it was totally worth it. It was really, really good.
Going back with high praise.
Yeah. They had tons of his artwork, you know, a lot of pages from the actual manga itself, and a lot of his, like, character designs and, you know, pre-background designs and stuff like that. And it had, you know, some information about him, and it was tons of work. I mean, it was really... Like, you know, as somebody making a manga, you're doing lots of art every day. And they had so much of it in there. And they had, like, some sections where they projected things, like little mini movies and some special effects. They had some cool statues. One thing that galleries in Japan are kind of known for, too, is there's no photos. They don't want you taking photos.
I would say that generally that's true. It's not always true, though. I've gotten to want... A lot of this no-flash photography I've been to as well. I'd say, in my experience, 50% chance to not be able to take photos.
Yeah, I think worldwide that's kind of a common thing, but I think most galleries and mostly everything I've done, they have specific places where you can take photos.
That's right. Yeah. I agree with that, yeah.
And the Naruto place had some statues you could take photos with, but they had very big signs that said, the photo area, you know, take photos here. It was really great. When you leave it, the gallery, they had this huge section with all this exclusive merchandise that you could only get.
I'm a sucker for that stuff. I like it all, yeah.
Our last episode, it was about the movies, and they kind of do a similar thing. But it was really cool. They had, like, cookies and all these plates and things you wouldn't expect. But it was a really good... That was a really good gallery. That was awesome.
Nice.
Yeah.
I remembered that I went to the Kobe Fashion Museum as well, which is on one of the islands in Kobe, Roko or Port Island. I can't remember. That was... I think that one was like $4. And overall, I wouldn't recommend going there unless they have a cool exhibit. But the exhibit was awesome. But I think it was only awesome because it was this exhibit. It's a style of fashion that I'm really, really interested in, and it's underreported on. It's called Boro, B-O-R-O, or Boro, probably, in Japanese. And the basic idea was, I think it was the Edo period, but it might have been Meiji.
And it was like the street families and kids were just scrapping together clothes that were like thrown in the trash. So it's a bunch of like patchwork. But it's only using like cotton and indigo dye. So it's only really the blue that you see. And it's just hundreds of thousands of patches. So like one piece of clothing, there's just so many stitch marks in it and patches and all different colors from different ages. And I'm really interested, I guess, in any like natural materials that just fade over time and become their own, whether I like leather and jeans, you know, for that reason a lot.
Yeah.
And that exhibit was so cool. It was just a bunch of like very samurai-esque looking clothing, you know, and there's no one there at all. Like, we were the only people in this huge museum. And wow, for me, it was so cool. It's this really sub-genre of fashion that I've liked for so long and never been able to like talk about or hardly read anything about it in English, you know. That was so cool for me. That was a great one. They let you like try on some of the pieces at the end. It smelled really funky. And I just don't think like people today really make that clothes, because it takes so much time, you know, to do that. All these were like 100-year-old, you know, clothing. It's cool.
Yeah, it's really cool.
And I actually found a couple of months later at like a vintage clothing shop, someone was selling a jacket, and I bought it, and it was cool because a lot of the cool ones you couldn't try on at the place. They let you try on a lot of like blankets and stuff. So it's cool to finally be able to try one on in the shop.
Oh, that's awesome. But yeah,
have you ever seen it?
No.
The style? You have any idea what I'm talking about?
No, yeah. I don't. I want to see what you got. Like, you know, I'll have to see your jacket.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to wear unless you, like, wear a bunch of, like, Edo-esque samurai clothing, you know?
Yeah.
I wear it underneath, like, a long, this one I have, this long, like, trench
coat.
Oh,
yeah,
it's
cool.
Like, layers. But, yeah, look up Boro, B-O-R-O. It's super cool.
Oh, awesome. Yeah. I think we can't talk about, like, you know, museums and galleries and stuff without talking about one of the big artists in Japan, and he's got stuff in probably every neighborhood. I'm looking up his name now because I'm bad with names too, but it's Taro Okamoto.
Yeah.
And I've been to his museum in Tokyo.
Yeah, I'm jealous of that one.
Yeah.
He has two there, you know.
Yeah, but this is the one that has like the recreation of his house, and yeah. And it has it might have been his house that was converted into the museum. I'm not sure.
I was guessing it was his house, yeah.
But I think it is, because I remember one room has all of his art supplies, and it's they were like, this is like how he had it.
That's the big thing they like to do that here. I've noticed at museums is like, if there's someone who's like reached god status in Japanese society, they were like, show like their cigarette like tray and like just the small nuanced things of their life, you know. It's pretty interesting. Today we'll get to it later, but we saw some hands, molded hands of the artists, you know.
One, the gallery was awesome. They had a lot of interactive stuff, which I thought was cool, like seats and stuff that he designed that you could sit on. I like the fact that you could actually, you know, like, interact with some of the art, because a lot of times, you know, it's very hands-off, you know, especially with such a big artist like he is.
Yeah. What is he most famous for, if people don't know?
He's most famous for this tower. It's
called
like the
Tower of...
Angel. Tower of the Sun.
Tower of the Sun.
Tower of the Sun.
And it is a tower, let me tell you.
It's huge. And it's
massive.
It's in Osaka.
Northern Osaka, near, at the Expo 70 site, which is a funky, crazy place you got to go to anyway.
Yeah, it's a big mall.
Have you been there?
Yeah, I've been to the mall. That's it's huge.
Did you get close to him?
Yeah, yeah. Okay, I've taken a couple of pictures, but I haven't had a chance to go to the actual park.
Okay.
That's a goal of mine.
Maybe I'll
get a chance.
Let's go record there this summer.
Yeah, sounds
it's
great.
Wild. And you go occasionally, like once a year, they let people inside of it. And it's like this very biblical, the tree of life is like what's on the inside of it.
Huh. That sounds fascinating.
Yeah,
I mean, his artwork is very iconic. And
yeah,
if you go to,
Japan.
Yeah, all over Japan, major cities.
It doesn't get outside of Japan, though, does it really?
No, I guess not. Yeah, I guess I haven't seen
Japan people. I never heard of it, and so I came here.
Yeah, but our friend Akagai,
he's
really into it. We went to the gallery with him.
Yeah.
And the gallery in Tokyo, I mean, I recommend anybody go. Everyone should go, because it has, like, little miniatures of all, of, like, his big pieces. And he did, like, all these really great, intricate miniatures of his big statues and stuff.
Yeah.
I guess probably those were like the
his initial ideas, and then he made them into like the big statues and stuff. Our buddy Art guy likes like his seats, like these little stool things with eyeballs on them.
Right, yeah. And they have those. They have those there. Yeah. They also have like a video of like, or they have a projector that shows like clips of him building the statue, the Tower of the Sun. And that was completely fascinating.
I really
showed
him.
People up in the on the top, like in the eyes and stuff, and it was, I couldn't. I was very impressed.
This is a good time for me to put a link into like the video of when that was like erected during the 70s.
Oh yeah, yeah.
It was a really cool video. I have a tour of the park.
Yeah, that would be great.
I'll hold myself to it if I say it now. So there you go.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of his stuff is like public works. It's like in the cities and stuff. But
that's right.
But you know, get his gallery.
Is a big painting in Shibuya Station.
Yeah. It's like an anti-nuclear painting.
That's
and one of my least. It's beautiful.
Yeah, I was just gonna say it's one of my least favorites of it.
I think it's so good.
It's pretty rough, which you might like or not like. That's a good one. Yeah, he has a second bigger museum, a little bit in the suburbs of Tokyo. That I want to try both.
Yeah, I think that it's just so cool that he put his stuff out, you know, in like public works, where you know a lot of people make you go to a museum or gallery, and
that's right.
You know, they.
I think he's dead. Is he dead?
Oh yeah, he's passed a long time ago.
I had that feeling, but I think maybe it's now time to take a break.
Yeah, we'll take a break, and then we're gonna come back with a special museum.
How many shrimps do you have to eat before you make your skin turn pink? Eat too much and you'll get sick. Shrimps are pretty rich.
So we're at today the favorite thing about Japan, which is very good for museums. Why, Matt?
What?
Our favorite thing about Japan are the stamps.
All over Japan.
But museums always have these too.
Yeah, so stamps are a big deal. If you teach little children, you'll realize like how important stamps are because
are you gonna get into the philosophy?
They'll do anything for a stamp. You say line up, and they'll line up, and then you give them a stamp. But I think it has something to do with just the general culture. Typically on subways. At every subway station, there's a different stamp, depending on the subway line, but the station master's
usually right outside of the gate.
Yeah, and people collect these stamps, so they have stamp books, and they'll go and they get a stamp in their book. It's common to see them there. That's probably the most prevalent.
I know the JR Yamamoto line does a thing like once a year or once in the time where if you like ride the line in one day and get off at all the stations and get a stamp, you get some kind of prize. There's like this competition.
Yeah.
It's wild. I mean, that would just never happen in any other country that I know of, you know?
Yeah. I know that they do it on the Yotsubashi line here in Osaka. It's because they have, there's a zoo. It's an OG zoo, or maybe it's the Mitosuji line. But if you get all the zoo animals, you get a prize. And I remember one of my students came to me and had this whole book full of like cards and animal cards and stuff. And she said she was so excited because she got the prize. Yeah,
That was a thing that surprised me. Like, you know, again, in all my internet research, I never had heard about the whole like just kind of free stamps, you know, and just I guess it goes with the cult collectors. We talk about like collector's mentality that is in Japan. That's definitely part of that. Some of the stamps are cooler than others.
Yeah, yeah.
Today at the museum we went to, still not saying what that is.
Yeah, it's a surprise.
It was kind of lame. It was a Pokemon, but like a rare Pokemon, right?
Yeah, it was just like Pokemon stamps. And they apparently you could get four of them at this museum. What ended up happening was we got a couple, so we'll try to show you a picture. Maybe put
Did
a picture.
Did we take a picture?
I had brought it. Oh, I have it with me. So maybe to give you an idea, or I'll see if I have any others.
I'll try to go around town and get some.
Yeah.
Sometimes just out of like random, like there's like a kelp seaweed shop near me. They have a stamp. Just book outside.
Yeah.
Like there's like random places, I guess.
Well, it's good advertisement, you know, and it brings in a certain clientele. At least kids go crazy for them.
Kids and otaku and old people,
Yeah. Another place where you might see them is Convenies, because they have, like, special events where you get, like, a Pokemon stamp or, like, a Monster Hunter.
I didn't know that.
Stamp, yeah. I've seen a couple, yeah, and I guess it depends on, like, a promotion, you know.
Before today, have you ever done the stamp?
Yes.
Yeah?
So, I actually did it in Korea.
They had stamps there, too?
Yeah. Well, I went to the Toilet Museum. It's kind of a famous place, and they had a bunch of stamps in each room.
I have this thing called a traveler's notebook, and you're supposed to like keep mementos in it, and I'd write like little journals. That'd be perfect, ripe for the stamping.
Yeah, I've had a couple of
my New Year's resolution.
Your New Year's resolution.
My half New Year's resolution
stamps
in April here.
I have notebooks with me a lot because sometimes I just jot down ideas or something I might have.
I'm glad you still do that.
Yeah, every once in a while when I have time. But a lot of times I'll have stamps in there that I've just stamped because I had the book and there was a stamp available. I don't know. I just thought it would be fun to do. But
so anyway, stamps.
Stamps.
It's a cool thing about Japan.
Yeah. Next time we talk about stamps, we'll have to talk about the stamp for your name.
The hanko.
The hanko, yeah.
We'll save that for another time.
Yeah.
There's love and hate of the hanko.
Yeah, we could probably do a whole episode about our hanko stories, but after the break, we'll be back with more museums and galleries.
Why are they pink? 実は私はタラコが大好きプラスエビカに食べよう。ピンク色になるのだからみんな違う色。人間って勘違いして。All right.
So recently, about 2 months ago, I went to another museum. It was in my own neck of the woods in Kobe, as all the museums I've talked about so far. And oh man, I just lost the name of it. Give me a second. Here it is. It's the Yoko Tadanori Museum of Contemporary Art. And it was great. It's in my top three museums of all Japan.
Do they have a particular gallery or?
The exhibit that was going on was a onsen or sento exhibit.
Okay.
So those are Japanese baths, in case you don't know. Onsen is a natural occurring spring, and the sento is usually one in the city. It's synthetic. And the exhibit was cool, but the actual permanent thing that was happening there was even better. He's a really like psychedelic guy. I bought a bunch of his like prints on postcards, which Japan's really good about. Most places will sell like a dollar or two postcards if you don't want to pay for the really expensive, bigger prints, you know, or higher quality. And he has like one of like the Beatles as vampires. I bought that. This is really subtle. They look, it's like a normal Beatles photo, but if you look really closely, they have vampire teeth. Or I bought like a Japanese samurai. A lot of like Japanese insignia, like mon, like you like. But then there's something like weird and psychedelic about it. Like blood would be coming out of it, or it'll have vampire teeth. Or So he had a whole mix of stuff, but I don't know how to put it. Everything, he was very diverse styles. It was a huge exhibit. There's things like just like tatami rooms that you could hang out in there, like traditional tatami rooms. He might be nationalistic. It was a lot of like traditional Japanese music, a lot of traditional Japanese icons, but his art didn't really invoke that. But like the setting there was, I don't know. I felt like it was some kind of political statement that went over my head. He had a whole room full of the ice cream cone statues that would be outside of a restaurant that would serve ice cream.
Yeah.
Any restaurant in Japan that has ice cream or a hamburger, strangely, they always have like these big plastic models of those. Like, I'm talking like 3 feet high.
Yeah, it looks like self-serve
ice cream. And he just had a room full of like 30 of those, 40 of those arranged. And they were lit up. They had like lights on the inside.
That sounds awesome.
When we walked in, there was a ping pong event going on, and I'm a big ping pong fan, and I don't think ping pong gets enough love, so whenever it is getting love, I get really excited. And the amazing thing about it was they weren't allowed to use conventional paddles, So people had like house slippers versus dustpans versus water bottles. And they had to play ping pong. It was a tournament, like an actual tournament, you know. That was awesome. Like, there was like 100 people in the lobby doing that. Cameras, like video, like TV cameras.
Wow. It was like an Olympic event.
It felt like it. And I was just mystified. Like, I was the first one there waiting for my friends. And I was so happy. It was like one of those moments like, yes, I'm doing the right thing with my life. Because I'm here, you know. I really like a manga and anime called Ping Pong. So some of the people were in shirts for that. And I got really excited thinking that it was
that's awesome. A
ping pong event. But,
go check out our Taiyo Matsumoto episode.
Yeah, he's the animator who does that show. But that was a nice little surprise, you know, like just kind of in the middle of nowhere again. And it was a huge, very modern museum. Like the building again was really nice. And that was awesome. One of the best. Just because I guess my expectations weren't that high. I didn't know about the artist, you know.
Yeah.
I checked out the website from our friend and fellow podcaster, Albert. And I really liked the work I saw on Y intersection is what sold me on it. In Japan, there's these things called Y intersections where, the road splits into a Y, and there's these really sharp buildings they build to fit into that intersection.
Yeah, those are really cool. So
it looks like a pie slice, like a 30-degree pie slice, the building would be. And he had a whole focus. It wasn't his exhibit, just this is one of this guy's favorite things that he paints are like Y intersections. And he shows the real photo, and then he paints them. And that's what sold me.
Such that's a really Japanese
thing, you know?
Yeah.
And Albert, you know, was really into that.
Fukuoka has
they have a lot there?
Apparently they're known for it. Yeah,
cool.
Yeah, for the really narrow buildings and like coffee shops and stuff.
That's cool when you're in one too, and just the feeling that space gives off, you know?
Yeah. Osaka's got a couple.
It's quintessentially Japanese, the refined space. But yeah, that one was great. You're going to do the one we went to today?
Oh, I was going to talk about another one, actually, I thought of. There was one night where you and I and another friend of the podcast, Tom, and my wife were all walking around Nankatsu area. And, I mean, this is just...
This is like a regular day to life. This is a good one, yeah.
Yeah, you could just walk around, like, you know, main parts of the city, like this is in Osaka, and we just found this place that had all this artwork from, like student, it looked like student artists or something.
Yeah, it wasn't, like, super high-end by any means, but it was really fun.
Yeah, it was very anime-influenced, and they just had, like, all these drawings and, like, manga panels most of them were colored, some of them were in black and white, and they showed a range of all sorts of things, you know,
smaller pieces, but there's a lot.
Yeah there was a ton of it, and it was just like a place we found under a bridge, you know. It was really cool,
just hanging out. It's pretty much like what we do here, is we just get off at a subway station and know we're gonna eat and drink at some point, and we just walk in directions and see what we find. And yeah, those small little museums are...
small galleries are all over the place.
Cool things that we find.
Yeah.
So that one was cool. And today, we came all the way out to Kyoto just to go to the International Manga Museum.
Yeah.
Which is, I think, more like a library than a museum, but I guess it's kind of one and the same in some ways.
Yeah, I guess they don't have I didn't see a lot of exhibits, really. It was mostly just a
library.
Yeah, exactly. There was all this manga.
It was in many different languages. They were sectioned off by their language. Japanese being the largest, obviously.
Prevalent, yeah.
English was probably the second largest, but it wasn't actually much bigger than some of the other, like French or Spanish.
Yeah, French and Spanish, I mean, all the international languages, they were kind of like one row. But, I mean, this place was two stories and it had a bunch of stuff. It had a kids room as well that had, like, you know, awesome. For kids manga. And it had this really awesome reading area that was, like, it was like a crater that went into the floor. Yeah. And all these kids were just like laying in there and reading.
So comfortable. Like,
comics. Yeah.
It was awesome. It was a really cool scene.
I mean, the one thing that that set this place apart from other galleries and museums I've been to is it's totally hands-on. You just take the manga that you want.
Yeah.
And you go and sit, find a place, a corner, and sit somewhere. I mean, it was, everybody was out. They even have this grass, this AstroTurf area where people were sitting around, and
there weren't, I would say it was like 5% tourists. I thought it was going to be a super touristy place, but it just seemed like so many like families just hanging out, like at a library or a bookstore, like reading, you know?
Yeah.
It was really, some areas, you know, the ceiling was like 20 feet high. And the manga went up like 10 feet, but I mean, every manga I've ever heard of, a lot of the subgenres and stuff,
yeah,
they had it all. You know?
I think they have.
And you
about
can just
everything.
Grab it and read it, you know? Like,
yeah.
Some of them are so worn. I've never seen books that really, like, so loved disease, you know? And that was kind of cool just to, like, see a book. Not torn, but just so beat up.
Yeah.
It's almost like Kleenex, the paper, you know?
Yeah. I mean, it's an interesting building. It looks like they have, I guess on the third floor, it's all research for, like, aspiring manga peoples or maybe, like, journalists or something.
It's owned by a university. I saw that.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense because there were some sections that are some art on the walls and stuff that looked like it was done by... like university students aspiring mangaka and stuff, yeah.
Yeah, it was pretty different from what I thought. Did you talk about the field? They had a big artificial field.
Yeah, it was like AstroTurf stuff, and people were laying on the field reading books and stuff.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
We kind of went through it in like an hour. Part of it was because they didn't charge us, which I don't know if that's because we were seen
we
as tourists
up.
Or
I think
if we
were
bad
supposed
people.
To pay on the machine.
Yeah.
And I don't think we did it.
Yeah, we went to the people and they just said, here's your brochure.
Yeah.
It wasn't until like we left the place that we saw the machine. But yeah, we kind of just did our rounds, you know, and saw some cool stuff. We learned that I've mentioned before on previous shows that I feel artists, from what I've heard from friends here, don't get paid the same amount that they do in Western countries.
Right.
And this had this little interesting diagram with a wine metaphor analogy, saying like you have a glass of wine and you're a manga artist and you start off and it's full, you know, and you think you made this manga, but money has to go to the magazines it's printed in, the distributors, and the advertisers, and they show, like...
They show the wine glass getting smaller and smaller,
and at the
more
end, there's just, like, a drop, and the guy can't even drink it.
Yeah.
But there was, like, an alternate route, which is, like, when things get made into, like, games, pretty much, or...
Yeah, games,
or
t-shirts,
TV shows.
Merchandise. That's where they got, like, their biggest cut, which I was kind of actually surprised.
I was surprised, too.
Yeah. It makes me feel good for
supporting that stuff.
Guys like Akira Toriyama and
so if this can be led, like if this can be believed, they're saying like pretty much if you buy the manga, it's not supporting the artist as much as if you buy like the t-shirt or the soundtrack or the video game, or which is interesting. I've always, you know, with the digital age and stuff, sometimes I read things online for free.
Yeah.
But I'm a big buyer of all that other stuff, so it kind of made me feel good if that's true.
Yeah.
So let's hope it is.
it was a cool place. I'll definitely go back.
Yeah.
I definitely want to spend a day.
Just go hang out.
And, just pull out manga and check it out and see if I could find some series that, you know, I've never looked at before or never, you know, I didn't know. Yeah.
We did the extreme... this walkthrough today, you know, but it's, I think both of us felt we had to do a little survey at the end, which to give you free stuff for, which is cool.
But one thing we can't forget to mention is Golden Bat.
Golden Bat, how did I almost forget?
Yeah,
well,
so
that was the best part.
There was a review. I mean, you were telling me you read some reviews before you went to the museum.
Big thing in the review said that no photography allowed, which was true. And the guy look out for Golden Bat. Golden Bat.
And we were.
I know manga decently. I've never heard of Golden
what
Bat.
What is Golden
before.
Bat?
Yeah.
So, so I was there, I was waiting for David, and I heard somebody with the wood, there are these wood blocks that they're kind of famous in Japan, usually around temples, you hear it, but it goes, and what's the kabuki dance, or kabuki theater?
Theater, yeah.
Yeah, it goes, you know, it's just clock, 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 like that. I turned around and I see this guy who's telling people, like, come
this is
come
on the
see
artificial
the
grass field outside, right?
He comes outside to the artificial grass field and he was like, come on, let's go to, in Japanese, he was saying, like, come on inside, you know, Golden Bat is about to happen and stuff like that. And all these kids ran up to him and started kicking him and, like, pushing him and stuff. And
that's
he was
weird.
It was weird, yeah. Like, I think they already knew, like, the kids already knew that he was, like, this silly character, kind of like a jester or something.
Continuation of the story.
And, he took some kids inside, some people followed him inside, and I was like, well, that was weird, but I'm sure it's for some performance or something. Yeah, yeah. And then we went up, and we got to witness Golden Bat. And what was Golden Bat?
Golden Bat is live, interactive storytelling with the guy with a lot of charisma and awesome voice.
Oh, and hopefully we can insert some audio here so you could understand what we're talking about.
And that was pretty awesome. Yeah, so Golden Bat, as you can tell, is like pretty much live theater. He had images that he was going through, like a manga, you know.
It was like one manga panel that was inside of like this big portable
frame thing.
It looked like a rickshaw or something.
And he went really slowly through them, you know, really extended the scenes and got everyone involved, and an incredible voice. But he's, for a Japanese guy, he was pretty direct and, like, in people's faces. I don't know if you noticed because you were trying to get the recording set up right away.
Yeah.
But he was, like, really in someone's face. And it turned out that they were special needs. And I don't know if he knew that. But about 20 seconds after, they definitely left. Like, they walked
out. Oh, they were, like, nervous around him, yeah.
I think, yeah, he got in their bubble a bit too much, you know?
Oh, okay, yeah.
Their handler had a
thing. I think most people were feeling it. I didn't notice that, yeah.
So that person left, and then there was still a couple left in there. It must have been a group. And he was still, like, he didn't get, he's too in the moment. Like, he was still getting in their faces over everyone else's. And some of them were, like, having to, like, turn around. There's two that had to
turn around. They were getting a little too nervous, yeah.
And then about four, I would say there's 30 or 40 people in the audience, right?
Yeah.
I'd say during our time there, about five or six left.
Yeah, but, I mean, it was obviously a long show. I mean, sometimes
people... I think we were there right as it was starting.
No, I don't think so. Really? I think it happened right when he came out and he started bringing people in.
For me, I felt like he was... It was like he was really divisive. Like, he was awesome, but it was really wild.
I would say the majority of the people sitting down.
For sure, the majority.
At least 80%, right?
But in Japan, in general, you see people kind of wait to the end of things, you know, not leave midway through. For me, it was, I've been living here long enough that it was like, whoa, this is kind of weird.
It was, I thought it was really cool.
It was incredible. You know, like, the guy was the best thing of the whole place.
It was obviously an excellent storyteller, and he got the audience involved. We were all doing, like, the maniacal laugh of the villain of the program. Yeah. Yeah. And
they do a little English translation too.
They had the English subtitles on each of the cards, which was cool. So if you speak English, like I'm assuming most of our listeners do, you'd be able to enjoy it as well if you don't speak Japanese. It's really cool. Apparently they do galleries and stuff, and I saw some boards of actual manga, but those parts were sectioned off and we couldn't go see them
on that day. The molded hand exhibit of all the famous illustrators.
So they take molds of the manga and manga creators' hands, and then they you could see what their hands look like, and they have some of our favorite artists. You know, they have the guy that did the Final Fantasy art.
Yeah.
They had Taiyo Matsumoto.
Mobius.
Yeah, Mobius. They had a little French exhibition going on. I think it was a really cool museum, and I recommend it.
Especially since we didn't have to pay.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah,
but great. I think it was $8, and it was definitely worth $8.
So, again,
you could stay there all day and just read all day, and it wasn't crowded at all. Even this field outside, it was about 50 degrees today. Maybe that's why, but it wasn't. It was like 20%. Occupancy, I feel like.
Yeah.
So I heard occupancy. Yeah.
Occupancy is great.
So I have one more.
Okay.
For me, saving my favorite one for last, which was the Studio Ghibli Museum. Now, the worst thing about this place is just getting tickets for it. As far as I know, if you're in Japan, the only place to get them from is from Lawson Machine. which is not at all English friendly.
The lab, what is it called? Lopi?
Lopi. Yeah, yeah.
Lopi.
But I heard you can get it from a travel agent if you're coming from abroad, only if you're dealing with a travel agent outside of Japan.
That makes sense.
The reason it's difficult to get tickets is that they don't let you buy them too much in advance. I think you can only buy them a month or two, I think 2 months in advance. But they sell out then really quickly. And then you also have to know exactly what time. So I'll have to say, like, all right, I'm going to go in 2 weeks. And it'll say, what time do you want to go? Do you want to go 1, 3, or 5? And I'll choose 5. And I'll say, sorry, sold out. Send you all the way back to the beginning.
And you have 20 minutes worth of
Japanese again. Yeah,
that's ridiculous.
So I don't know. That could be an easy fix. Maybe they'll fix it by the time you've heard this. But I've gone to this machine to try out these tickets.
But they've done this for a long time.
About 10 to 15 hours of my life I've spent at this little like ATM machine. It looks like an ATM machine. Just like pulling out my hair. You know me. Have you ever heard me curse before or swear?
Not often.
Audibly, it's like very rare. Sworn multiple times at this machine trying to do this thing. It's one of the most frustrating experiences in my life. And then I finally got the tickets once and then got on the train to Tokyo, which was a long journey for us, and realized like an hour into my trip that I forgot
the tickets.
Yeah, and now they're cheap. That's a good thing for such a big, you know, just like the Disney of Japan. I've never been to Disney, but I'm pretty sure it's very expensive. And Ghibli's only about $12, $14 somewhere in there. And
it's a good deal.
It is hard to get the tickets, but it is worth it because there is crowd control, like you were talking about the Naruto thing before. And it's totally, you have like the place, not to yourself, I'm not going to say that, but it's nice being in Tokyo and at kind of a more intimate museum, you know, not being crowded is really, really nice. There's awesome grounds, you know, like you go outside and there's these cafes and it feels like you're in a Ghibli movie with the scenery. The robot from Castle in the Sky is there. He's so cool. He's really scary to get to, actually. You have to go up a spiral staircase to get up there. We were there like on a rainy, windy day. Maybe that's why it was scary.
Adds to the atmosphere.
But even like the beer you get there has like Ghibli bottles with the art on it and stuff. Like everything is fine-tuned. I will say the gift shop there, there's a lot of Ghibli shops here, and it wasn't much better than like just the average Ghibli shop you could go to. Mm-hmm. A lot of the stuff I saw, all the stuff I could get out here.
Yeah, and living in Japan, it's pretty easy to get Totoro dolls and stuff like that.
There is a couple special things. You want to play? There's a movie theater in there, and your ticket gets you a free admission to this theater. For us, we saw this rare cut. It's like never. You can only see it there, and it was awesome. It was really cool.
There's like two or three movies that are exclusive to the museum.
Yeah, it was great. It's the best museum experience of my life, actually. And it's kind of like a theme park. There's no rides or anything, but I generally don't like the themey places. You know, I'm not a big Disney guy. And I'm actually a huge Ghibli guy. I love his worlds and his characters. I just think the pacing of his stories are too long for me. I think they all need to be edited about 20 or 30 minutes down. But it was out of this world, like, awesome. Like, I'll go back every time I go to Tokyo, especially because I have a kid. So cool. Yeah. Interactive, like you're saying, like things you can climb up and go into. There's a cat bus you can go in and just chill in the cat bus for a while. And yeah,
so just seeing the museum from the outside is pretty cool. I mean, they have stained glass windows and like even the outside has some art.
It's a big Totoro outside. Yeah. I think. Yeah.
We've tried to go. My wife and I have tried to go, but we've just never had the chance. I mean, every time we try to coordinate with you and your family, but it's always a I don't know. It's a hassle, or it's always too late. You know,
it's definitely a hassle.
Yeah. So, but yeah, I do intend on going.
You gotta go.
Yeah,
the price is right. That's what's important.
Yeah, I like it. I love the Ghibli movies. You know, I do agree with you. I do think they could each one could do with a little bit of editing, but I mean the animation quality and the worlds they build are just incredible. So I think to be a part of that.
Soundtracks. Joe Hisashi is awesome.
Oh, man. To be inside that world would be incredible, yeah.
Yeah, that's what it feels like, exactly. I didn't want to go. Like, I was with two girls and a kid, and I was like, oh, I want to stay longer. Like I said before, I'm a very fast museum goer, you know?
Yeah.
But that place is awesome. That's in Tokyo in Kichijoji, which is a really cool neighborhood and a cool park. It's in a great park with a great zoo. So check that out. That's the Japan 2.0 guide to museums and galleries in Japan.
Yeah, and there's a bunch more. I mean, you know, like a lot of department stores have, like, you know, famous artists, like exhibitions all the time. There was a Star Wars one I missed. We went to one that, for speaking of Taiyo Matsumoto, we went to a Tekkon Kinkri exhibit that was a lot of stuff from the movie.
Loft is like a cool department store.
It had some of the background art and some of the animatics and stuff like that.
I just went to like a workspace gallery show last weekend, and if you're interested in renting gallery space, just to give you an idea, it's $150 a month, and it was about the size of a large bedroom in America, and it's about 15 minutes from the station walk up a hill, maybe that's why, but it was so cheap.
Man.
It's such a cool international community, like a lot of English speakers and French speakers, and I really, you know, thought about just getting the space and listening to records and, like, painting or something. Like,
it was so cheap.
Really cool vibe.
I can't believe it. Maybe we should split one and make Japan 2.0 studio.
But if you want to know about galleries and art from the other end.
Maybe when we start our Patreon and you guys are paying us tons of money, right?
But that's a little view into that world, the other side of art.
Don't worry, the Patreon's probably not coming anytime soon.
Anyway, so there you go. Museums, galleries, big part of Japan.
Yeah.
Gotta do it.
Yeah. I've been doing the song of the show for a long time. Do you have any songs that you'd like to share?
I have a bunch. I'm just trying to think. Names. All right. Caro Caro Bonito. We'll do this one.
Oh, yeah.
They're good. I saw them in concert last year in Osaka. They're an active group. Still going on. They're kind of starting to get critical acclaim. I think they're going to get big pretty soon.
There's a big thing about them. Are they from Japan?
Kind of. The lead singer is half Japanese, half British, and then the two musicians in the band are both white British dudes. I guess their gimmick is all half the songs are in English, half are in Japanese. So she'll do a verse in Japanese and she translates it into English, which is good for language learning. They have a Super Mario song. It's awesome. Sick Beat. Maybe that's the one I'll play. I'll play Sick Beat.
Okay.
And that's what sold me on them originally. But there's a song called Flamingo, which is really cool too. And they're so good. They have like 10 to 20 awesome songs.
Yeah, I've seen a couple of their videos and I follow them on Twitter too. So I know they've been doing touring and stuff. I learned about them through you. So
they're like 8-bit hip hop pop. Electronic.
They're kind of like one. I would say Shibuya K influenced, you know.
Modern version.
Yeah.
Nerd modern version. Yeah. They're so cool. The music videos are cool too, so.
Well, cool. I can't wait to listen.
Check that out.
You can find us all over the internet at Japan 2.0. We're on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook as well. You can find our blog at
WordPress, Japan 2.0.
You got it.
Yeah, check
Usually
it out.
Usually I'm the one that messes it up.
Check out Matt's cool postcards he does for our mixtapes. They're awesome.
The Doki Doki Radios. So check those out. And as soon as you're ready to contact us, you know, send us a tweet, send us a message on Instagram. If you have any questions, send them our way. We'd love to answer any questions you have.
Yeah.
Thanks to all our new listeners too that are subscribing and downloading our episodes.
Yeah, spread the word.
Yep, we keep growing, so tell your friends.
See ya.
Peace. If you're multicolor, that's cool too. You don't need to change. It's boring being the same flamingo. Oh, 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 oh. You're pretty either way. Tsuru no shippo, shita ni mukatte magetara. Flamingo. Imi fumei da kedo omoshiroi desho. Nichi iro ni somatta sekai. Kyo mo chikyu no doko ka de. Ebi o musha musha tabete. Flamingo wa pinku iro ni somatte iku ze. 1, 2, 3. Black, white, green or blue.
many shrimps do you have to eat before you make your skin turn pink? Eat too much and you'll get sick. Shrimps are pretty rich. Green or blue, show off your natural